Now back to the Dave Graham Show on WDEV FM and AM.
We are back to the show here for the last half an hour or so of the program. We're broadcasting, as we do on Fridays during the legislative session, from the Vermont State House in Montpelier. And we have pleased to have join us for the last half hour or so Richard Williams. He's executive director of the Vermont State Housing Authority, and Caprice Hover is the board chair of that same organization. And they were just honored with a legislative resolution here in the Vermont House with on their 50th anniversary. The organization started in 1968. I understand that it's actually not a state agency. It sort of sounds like it is by its name, Vermont State Housing Authority, but it is mainly a creature of the federal government, although its board of governors is appointed by the governor of the state. So it's it is a bit of a hybrid type of organization with a strong connection to government, but isn't really a state government agency in the way that some other departments or most other departments and agencies of state government are. So Richard Williams, I wondered if you could tell us right off the top a little bit about what is the role, where in the housing picture in Vermont does the Vermont State Housing Authority fit?
Well, thanks, Dave, for having me on today. It is a big day for Vermont State Housing Authority.
Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you very much. I also want to thank Governor Philip Hoff back in 1968.
Another Governor Phil,
exactly. He saw an opportunity and an obvious void in affordable housing in rural Vermont. He seized upon the opportunity to gain access to concentrated federal housing resources. And by the end of December of that first year, Vermont State Housing Authority had applied for and received 100 units of rental assistance. And currently, Vermont State Housing Authority is assisting over 8,500 households in Vermont, which is $60 million of federal rental assistance that is going through our agency to provide decent, affordable housing for the vulnerable populations of Vermont.
How many? That's 8,500 households now. Yep. Is that?
That's correct.
Wow. And these are, as you say, mostly in rural areas, because urban areas have city and town housing authorities. Is that right?
Initially, that was the case in 1968. There was a void, obviously, in the rural Vermont. There were local housing authorities, and many of, you know, in the larger cities and towns in Vermont, there's actually eight housing authorities. Since then, we have been able to expand throughout Vermont. So now we're serving all of Vermont, and even in those communities where there is a local housing authority.
Oh, I see. Okay, so in a place like Burlington or Montpelier, I think, does Montpelier have a city housing authority?
It does, the Montpelier Housing Authority.
Okay, so you could actually sort of understand that there's a footprint by both organizations, the Montpelier Housing Authority and the State Housing Authority, within the city itself. Is that right?
Yeah, the Vermont State Housing Authority is actually the largest provider of rental subsidies in the state.
Wow, okay. Now, tell me a little bit about the gap that remains, because we see a lot of media coverage, frankly, in Vermont from time to time about folks who are, say, working full-time and still unable to afford good housing in the state. They end up essentially staying in homeless shelters while they're holding down full-time jobs. It seems like there's still some work to do here to try to get everybody into housing they can afford.
Absolutely, Dave. There's a shortage of housing at all levels, all income levels.
Mm-hmm.
We serve the very lowest of those folks. For example, in Washington,
lowest in terms of income.
Yes.
Yeah.
For example, like in Washington County, the median income for Washington County is $73,900.
Household income. Okay.
Yep. And for like a family of four, folks would have to have under $24,600 to be able to access our program.
A family of four living on $24,600 is not well off.
They are not. They are obviously would not be able to find rental housing and be able to afford it.
I wouldn't think so.
And you know, there's been some studies done that, you know, it would take two wage earners working full time to be able to afford a basically a one-bedroom apartment.
A decent apartment in most parts of Vermont.
Absolutely.
It's a tough situation, really. And I wonder whether, do you have high hopes that we're moving in the right direction in terms of closing this gap of the remaining people out there, or are we slipping?
We're making gains, but they're small gains. Mm-hmm. We depend, you know, on the federal government. And as you know, times in Washington are challenging. And that's been the challenge for our programs over the years is, you know, the budget adjustments, sequestration, funding. We've actually lost funding, you know. We have lost funding for about 600 vouchers here in the state of Vermont because the appropriation level hasn't kept pace with the increasing in the rents.
And when you say lost funding for about 600 vouchers, is that out of the 8,500 or so, or that's part of what size of a universe?
That's part of the, you know, that we would be able to be serving, you know, more households if
more
they
like
had
9,000 something
if they had provided the amount of resources that we need. So they give us a flat amount of money, and we have to manage it. And so as the cost goes up, the rents go up in Vermont, and if you're, the Chittenden County has some of the highest rents in Vermont.
Yeah.
But we've seen that migrate into other areas too. We've seen it migrate into Washington County, Lamoille County, and Franklin and Grand Isle housing, Grand Isle as well.
Folks, listeners, I want you to be reminded, of course, that this is a call-in program. We would love any questions or comments about housing issues, particularly as they affect lower income Vermonters. Because we have, we're lucky enough to have with us this morning as guests, Richard Williams, Executive Director of the Vermont State Housing Authority, Caprice Hover, who will be taking over the headset in a little bit. As it happens, the program here, we only have two headsets, one for the host, that's me, and then one for one guest at a time here at the State House. We can accommodate more at the studio in Waterbury, but that's not where we are right now. Anyway, Caprice Hover is the board chair of the Vermont State Housing Authority. Richard Williams, the executive director, is filling us in on the sort of the current state of housing for low-income folks here in Vermont. And this is the 50th anniversary of this organization, started by Governor Phil Hoff and the legislature back in 1968. Hard to believe that 1968 was 50 years ago. Maybe I'm dating myself when I say that, because I remember 1968 as a young teenager back then. Anyway, our call-in numbers, if you'd like to call us up and comment about housing or really any other issues that we've been talking about here today from the State House in Montpelier, 244-1777 is the local number that routes through the studio in Waterbury. And our toll-free number, 877-291-8255. And if you need a reminder about 8255, the letters on your phone spell talk, which is what you'll be doing if you get a chance to give us a ring and join the program this morning. And Richard Williams, I wanted to ask you also if the your sense of the just recently passed omnibus budget that came out last night, and then now the president is tweeting this morning that he's maybe got to veto it. You watch this stuff pretty closely, I bet, since this is the source of your organization's livelihood, really. What's shaken down here as far as the, or sugaring off, that's the phrase this time of year anyway, for the Vermont State Housing Authority?
Well, I saw that the House had passed the omnibus bill, and obviously the Housing and Urban Development budget, which funds our agency, is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard what you just stated, that the president's thinking about vetoing it.
Yeah, the provisions about immigration, the DACA legislation, and I'm blanking on the other one right now, but there's another thing he's complaining about.
Probably the wall.
That's the other end of the immigration thing. So he's upset about Congress not doing enough on those, in his estimation, on those issues, and is therefore threatening to veto the bill. What that means, we don't know.
Well, that's a big challenge for this agency, is that, you know, like I said, there's $60 million in federal money that's rolling through our agency. And I know that's is a big number, and I realize that. But we also have 1,400 people still on our wait list that we can't serve.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we have been operating our program since January 1st without a budget because we run on a federal fiscal year, but this particular program runs on a calendar year.
Okay.
So here we are, you know, almost 6 months into the federal fiscal year, still don't know what monies we have, and this money has got to last us through the end of December. We have, fortunately, in my history and at the agency, we've never had to remove anybody, you know, or terminate any subsidies.
Right,
that's
right.
Not the case nationally. Nationally, yeah. There's been places that have housing authorities, because of the budget cuts and the sequestrations, have had to remove people from the programs. We have never done that, and we certainly pride ourselves on never taking that action.
How close are we to that, though? I mean, is there a threat out there that could actually be happening within the next year or so, or what are we thinking?
The numbers I saw last night on the federal budget, I'm not sure how that's going to, you know, shake out for Vermont, mm-hmm. but it's higher than the 2017 Appropriation Act.
Okay.
So that's what we're running on right now, is because they weren't able to pass a bill, they were running on 2017 appropriations. So,
and it sounds like, I mean, assuming that some form of this legislation ends up passing and getting signed by the president, that could be at least a little bit hopeful for you, right? If it's higher than the previous year's appropriation, then you're maybe have less reason to worry.
Well, you know, Vermont is very fortunate. We have great congressional representation in Washington, mm-hmm. and Senator Leahy sits on the subcommittee appropriations. Has
yep.
always got our back. You know, Representative Welch has obviously in the House. It's been a challenge, obviously, because of the numbers between Democrats and Republicans,
mm-hmm.
but. Has been able to introduce bills on our behalf that actually have supported people in mobile home parks, you know, with lot rent.
Right.
Of course, you know, Senator Sanders, his support for the veterans program. We run a what they call a HUD VASH program, which is supportive housing program for veterans.
For veterans, okay.
And
yeah.
We work very closely with the White River Junction Medical Center,
the VA,
they provide the services for the vets, and we provide the rental subsidies. So.
Wow, okay. We are going to take a break here on the Dave Graham Show on WDEV, get a word in from our sponsors, and then I think we're going to pass the mic over to Caprice Hover, who's the board chair of the Vermont State Housing Authority, and she's going to give us a little more information about what the organization's plans are for the coming years, assuming that it continues to get federal funding despite this threatened veto from the president. So we'll be back shortly on the program on the Dave Graham Show here on WDEV.
Hi, this is Wynn Smith, president of Sugar Bush Resort. Sugar Bush is still family-owned and operated and will celebrate 60 years of operations this December. As avid skiers, our family wants the same experience for you as we do for ourselves, and that's why we always place the interests of our guests first. Next year's season passes are on sale, and rates and pass products have remained the same as last year. Our premium adult pass, once again, costs only $799. And all premium pass holders get unlimited half-off tickets at our partner Mountain Collective ski areas. Additionally, the Value Pass returns with Mount Ellen access daily and Lincoln Peak access midweek non-holiday and when Mount Ellen is closed. The Adult Value Pass is just $549. All passes include free spring skiing. And for a complete listing of Sugarbush passes and to get yours, visit sugarbush.com. Sugarbush, be better here.
Over 5 feet of snow has blanketed Sugarbush this March, and the skiing and riding is superb. Get next season's pass now and start skiing and riding for free today. Weather permitting, Sugarbush plans to stay open into May.
At this moment, there are about 70 children in Vermont foster care waiting for their forever families. Most of these children are school-aged and already fierce survivors. They often bear the scars, both physical and emotional, of the trauma they've endured. But like all children, they like to play and hang out with friends and need the love and stability that family provides. All types of adoptive families are needed. Singles and couples, old and young, gay and straight, country and city folk. There is no one definition of the perfect family. If you have room in your home and heart for a child, call Project Family at 1-800-476-7000 or get info on the web at projectfamilyvt.org. Project Family is a collaboration between the Vermont Department for Children and Families and Lund. You can change a child's life today and forever.
sponsored by Vermont DCF, aired by the Vermont Association of Broadcasters and this station.
CBS Radio News began in 1927.
This is London. Soon it will be spring in England.
4 years later, 31, WDEV began covering local news.
More people can hear than can read. We've got to be in radio.
Now together, providing the most comprehensive radio news programming in Vermont. 6.5 hours a day of local news programs. World and national from CBS every half hour. Statewide news from our partners, WCAX-TV and VermontDigger.com. When Vermonters want to know what's happening, we trust that you'll trust Radio Vermont. WDEV, keeping an eye on the Green Mountains, while CBS keeps an eye on the world.
It's the Dave Graham Show on WDEV FM and AM. Here's Dave.
And we are back for the last 10 minutes or so of today's program. We're broadcasting live from the State House in Montpelier. And in this last half hour of the program, we were actually being joined today by Richard Williams, the Executive Director of the Vermont State Housing Authority. He was with us for the first part of this half hour. And joining us for the last few minutes of the program today is Caprice Hover. She is the Board Chair of the Vermont State Housing Authority. Richard was telling us about how the Housing Authority really focuses its efforts on supporting housing for low-income Vermonters. And oftentimes, unfortunately, the alternative to being supported by a program like this is homelessness. And Caprice was telling me during the break that one of the reasons she got into this field and really wanted to work on housing issues was that you, Caprice, and by the way, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
You were homeless at one point in your own life.
That's correct.
Tell us about that and how that's informed your work here.
Okay. As a teenager, I was actually taken into foster care, and as we have now the still problem of having enough foster parents to be able to take care of kids that are struggling. So we call it couch surfing. So I stayed with different friends and got relocated around for place. So I was in 11 different places in the first year, and so it's very trying and it's very challenging. So I always had a passion and have kept that for the 33 years of helping people that are in these situations to rise above it and work hard. And you know, part of what is real is that folks don't realize that Vermont State Housing Authority is fully funded by the federal government to do most of the work that we do. And we currently serve 70% of the folks are elderly and disabled that would not have an alternative. And I'm not sure about you, but if my grandmother or someone that was disabled in my family ran into challenges and Vermont State Housing Authority weren't there, then they'd be in the same situation I was. And there's no way you can be successful in life when you don't really know where you're going to put your head down at night.
That is a pretty basic thing. I mean, you know, on the old hierarchy of needs that we've all learned about.
And it's the most basic, I think.
Housing is, shelter is one of those things that human beings definitely need. And I wondered, you mentioned that the elderly and disabled make up 70% of the population.
70% of the 8,500 vouchers we support are elderly and disabled.
Okay.
With an average income around $15,000.
Yeah. So we hear, you know, there's a lot of rhetoric out there. I see it online. I see it in some other talk programs and so on, that a lot of the quote-unquote poor are undeserving of, mm-hmm. of public support. And
you do want to wind me up, don't you?
And let's keep our taxes low because, you know, why is my money going to take care of people who should just go out and get a job like the rest of us or whatever? But we're talking about people... 70% who are elderly and disabled. I mean,
unable to do that.
That's something that I mean, to what extent I have a job. I have actually two part-time jobs now, and most people who are just get up in the morning and get dressed and go commute to work and do their job and come home in the evening. There's not a lot of awareness, is there?
No, and the reality is I have to tell you, I was working full-time and going to school when I was homeless. It just wasn't enough to afford things and get out on my own. So it is a misnomer that homeless folks don't work. It's just not real. and particularly for the Vermont State Housing Authority, I have worked as a social worker over the years and worked with the reps from Vermont State Housing Authority that are in the field around the state, because I'm from Rutland County. Mm-hmm. And the bottom line is, without that toolkit and that tool in my toolkit, I would not have been able to help a lot of these folks with disabilities or elderly to be able to afford a one-bedroom or studio apartment. It just doesn't work.
And even with these efforts, I was talking when we were talking with Richard just a few minutes ago, there's still a big gap here, isn't there? Because we have people who are working full-time in restaurants or in retail or other sort of lower end of the income spectrum jobs, and they're finding that they can't afford rents in Vermont.
No, so they're paying cars. 50-60% of their income towards housing, and that, and how do you take care of your kids and the food and the electric? All of that stuff isn't included. So
that sets up people for really pretty heavy duty difficulties.
Absolutely, it does.
And I often find that issue of not having a steady place to live, then actually it works adversely or it works against the ability to keep a job.
That's right.
And so you get into this cycle of short-term employment.
That's right.
And
then nobody wants to hire you because you've had a change in your job history. And, you know, I was working recently with a family whose husband had to go into surgery, and she had a job that she got laid off, and they literally were sleeping in a campground in February until they could get permanent housing. Both working people that had something not great happen in their life and found themselves in this situation.
Yeah, that is a... What are your hopes or expectations for the next 5 or 10 years in this field? Do you think that Vermont might step up, the federal government might step up and try to start to close this problem, or do you think that this is going to fester or get worse over the next 5 or 10 years?
I appreciate that there has been a small increase, if this ever happens for Vermont, but the reality is the cost of the housing is going faster than anything we're going to get out of the federal government. I think part of the reason I do love Vermont is because we are creative and we're going to figure out solutions. I am very concerned about the future of housing in Vermont, and that's why I will stay involved no matter what my role is in advocacy in housing, because I can be doing anything in the world for advocacy, but again, if I can't figure out how to stabilize people in their homes, we're not going to do well. We need to not get rid of low-income housing tax credits that allow private sector and public sector to come together to be creative around these solutions. We need to be paying more than 72 cents on a dollar, because that's what the Vermont State Housing, in order to implement this program, we get paid 72 cents on a dollar. We're in the same situation that the medical field is in, that we've got to do this work with shrinking and shrinking resources, and God knows we need to house the people, but we also need to be able to figure out this shortfall.
Yeah, well, let me unpack that a little bit, because I'm not sure I understand, actually. 72 cents on a dollar, I mean, I know I hear from in the healthcare field, you mentioned the medical field, and folks there say, you know, if it costs a dollar to provide a certain level of service to a patient in a healthcare setting, that the insurance company or Medicaid or Medicare or whatever the insurance is only paying a certain portion of that, and somehow the healthcare provider or the patient, in terms of copays and deductibles and all the rest of it, has to pick up the balance. Is that
right?
That's
correct.
Okay. So what happens in this housing realm when you say that the federal, I guess it's, you're solely, sourced from federal funding.
That's correct.
And if the federal government pays 72% of your expenses, where does the other 28% come from?
I think we have some of the best staff in the state, quite frankly. I mean, I think they look for every ability to maintain the costs. But the reality is it gets harder and harder. And I think if anybody in this is listening to this that's a property maintenance person or a property management person can understand in the private sector that they can't do their job without getting a full dollar, imagine how much more challenging it is for us to be able to maintain the housing quality standards that are important, as well as providing the service, the quality service. So our staff are asked more and more to do more with less. And as chair of the board, one of the challenges that we face often is, how do we keep doing this balance when the government won't even give us a budget until we're halfway through the year? It's a challenge.
not a pretty picture, but I do want to congratulate you on the 50th anniversary of this work.
Thank you.
The Vermont State Housing Authority both Richard Williams and Caprice Hover joining us this morning on the Dave Graham Show on WDEV. That's it for our program today. We are out of time. We'll be back Monday with another program. I'm hoping to travel up to Craftsbury and meet with some Nordic skiers up at the Craftsbury Outdoor Center. So join us for that on Monday, and the Dave Graham Show will be back next week. Have a great weekend, folks.